bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otebe. And now, today's Word.
I'm doing part 13 of my series, Life in the Spirit. Part 13, and my subtitle is God's Armor. God's Armor, or the Armor of God. I was going to do the Weapons of the Spirit, but I felt it was getting a bit long, so I'll do that next week, and I deal with God's Armor today. Last week, we looked at the battle we are involved in as believers, and today we're going to look at the armor God has given to us to wage this warfare. Every spiritual warfare must be waged in a way that gives us spiritual victory, and God's armor enables us to walk in the victory of the Lord. We go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And last week, we dealt with this to an extent. But today, I want you to note what it says in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. We're looking at the armor of God. The passage actually doesn't just limit it to the armor of God, but he says the whole armor of God, the complete armor of God, from the Greek word panoplia. Pan meaning all, and plia coming from a word that means instruments or weapons. So the entirety of the instruments and the weapons of war that God has given to us. And when we talk about the armor of God, the Bible is very clear to talk about the whole armor, because it always prefaces with the whole armor. In other words, you cannot just pick pieces of it and use them. They come as a full set. And God wants us to use the full set of his armor to win the battles we are involved in. So what is God's armor? And I'll use two phrases to explain it. It means God's weapons of warfare. God's weapons of warfare. What God uses, the instruments that God uses in warfare. You know, frequently in the Bible, God is pictured in human terms as a man of war. Those are biblical ways of explaining to our human understanding that God fights for us. It doesn't mean that God necessarily fights like a military man, but it is a figure of speech that God is a man of war. He fights for us. And he has weapons of war, and that's what the armor of God is all about. And the armor of God also talks about God's method for warfare, how he does it. How does God wage warfare? When we say God is fighting for us, what is he fighting with, and how is he doing it? These two, what and the how, is what we call God's armor. And that term is a very, very clear term to show us that the armor does not come from us. It comes from God. And when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6 and talked about God's armor, he was basing what he was saying on an earlier passage in the Bible. And we will look at that earlier passage because that is the basis on which Paul talks about God's armor. And it's in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, like the other chapters in Isaiah, is messianic. A lot of the prophecies of Isaiah were messianic. And when we say it's messianic, it means that although he was talking about something happening at that time, he was also talking about what the Messiah would do in the future. And so much of Isaiah's prophecies have dual meanings. They have meaning for the occasion, for the time, and then meaning also for the future. So Isaiah chapter 59 is one of those messianic chapters in the prophecy of Isaiah. The one that most of us are familiar with is Isaiah chapter 53 that talks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 59 is messianic. So I want you to have that in mind. And we will read verses 15 to 17. And this prophecy is coming at a time when the people of God are in bondage, they are in trouble, and there's no one to help them. So this is how Isaiah puts it. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. So he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet and it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, if you pay attention, you will see that some of the pieces in God's armor are mentioned directly with God here in Isaiah chapter 59. So, the passage says that God saw a situation. Note verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm, everybody say his own arm. All right. His own arm brought him salvation, and his own righteousness, say his own righteousness, it sustained him. So, the picture here is God sees that his people are in trouble. They need deliverance. And there's no one to deliver them. So God says, if there's no one to deliver my people, then I'm going to do it by myself. So that's what he's saying. So we see here that God acts by himself. He acts by himself. He doesn't need somebody to help him to do what he wants to do. So God acted by himself. Why? Because there was no one to save his people. God stepped into directly deliver his people. And in doing that, the Bible says that he uses his own arm. His own arm brought him the deliverance. His own arm. The word arm there talks about his power. He doesn't use somebody's power. Of course, when God wants to do something, show power, he doesn't show somebody else's power. He shows his own power, his own arm. He uses his own arm. So he acts by himself. How does he do it? His own arm. Secondly, he uses his own armor. And in the passage we have talked, we hear about righteousness as a breastplate. And we hear about salvation as a helmet. So God uses his own armor. His own arm, his own armor. Now, if you look at the passage carefully, it uses the phrase that God put on. He put on these garments. He put on righteousness as a breastplate a helmet of salvation, put on garments of vengeance. So the phrase put on is very important here in Isaiah, because I said that Ephesians chapter 6 is based on Isaiah 59. So you see the parallel of language. So God put on his own armor. What was his armor? Righteousness, salvation, the cloak of vengeance. These were all his armor. He put them on. So the passage pictures God in human terms. Now, I'm careful to let you know that it doesn't mean that God is a man who goes to war with instruments of war like us. But we are humans, and the only way to understand things is to describe them in human terms. That's why Jesus used a lot of parables to teach us, because if he doesn't use that, we can't get it. So God is pictured in human terms, but God is not a human being. Get that? He's a man of war, but he's not a man of war like a human being. And so the Bible says he put on righteousness, he put on salvation. They were his armor. And then he delivered us himself by his own arm, by his own armor. He gained victory for our salvation. In fact, that is the story of our salvation. When we were in sin, bound by Satan, no one could deliver us. No angel could deliver us. God had to act by himself. That's the Christmas story, the story of the incarnation. God became man. God became man to redeem man. So Isaiah says, God stepped in by himself to deliver us. And in doing that, he put on an armor. That is the background of what we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6. So, Isaiah chapter 59 is the background for Ephesians chapter 6. And just as an aside, those of you who like the Bible and want to see the harmony in the scriptures, I always say that when you study the scripture very well, then you realize that the scripture is totally interconnected. No scripture stands by itself. Everything is woven. Everything is connected somewhere. And from Isaiah chapter 59, we go to Isaiah chapter 60. Most of you are familiar with Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come. But arise and shine, for your light has come, comes from Isaiah chapter 59, when God has put on armor to deliver his people. It's only a delivered people who can arise and shine. If you're not delivered and in bondage, you will not shine and you will not rise. But when God delivers you, you will arise and shine. So it is on that background that we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 to 17. And this is what it says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Note the number of times stand is used. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, Paul is using Isaiah 59, God going into battle for his people, as a background to talk about believers also going into battle. And next week we'll pay attention to all the items of the armor, but today just the concept of the armor. So if you put Isaiah 59 and Ephesians 6 together. God is telling us something very clear. God put on an armor to go into battle. And he's telling us that what he put on to go into battle, we must also put on to do our warfare. So when we talk about the armor of God, you don't pick the armor. It is an armor that God used, which he now gives you to war in the same armor. It's a picture of like a great warrior. A great warrior goes to war and he conquers and he has a lot of victory. And then he comes home, takes off the armor he fights with. And then he calls his son and he says, next time you are in a battle, I want you to take this same armor that gave me victory. Wear it, put it on, and go and do your own warfare. So God is saying, this armor I am giving you is an armor I used. I trusted in it. It worked for me. It will work for you. The believer's armor does not come from the believer. It comes from God. God used it and he passed it on to us. And that is why we have to trust in that armor. It worked for God. It will work for you too. It gave him victory over the devil. It will give you victory too. It is God's armor. God put it on and we put it on as well. Now, when God put on his armor, he used his armor to deliver us. That's what we see in Isaiah 59. He used his armor to deliver us, to those who have no deliverer. So, Isaiah 59 says, the Lord is looking for somebody to deliver his people. There's no one to deliver his people. He says, I'm going to deliver the people by myself. He put on righteousness. He put on salvation. And he goes into battle and he delivers his people. And the Bible says his right hand delivers them. So he put on his armor to deliver us. We put on his armor to defend the deliverance. So God says, I've already delivered you. How did you do it? This is how I do it. Now I want you to take the same weapons, not to go and fight the same battle that I fought, but to take this weapon and use it to defend what I got for you. So his weapon and armor got us victory. His armor defends the victory that he has given to us. And that is why in the Christian life, we don't go fighting against Satan. We go standing to protect what God has already given to us. Because by his armor, he has given us victory. By his armor, we stand in the victory. By his armor, we have the victory. By his armor, we defend the victory. By his armor, you are free. By his armor, you stand in the freedom. And that's why as you read Ephesians, you see, stand, 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 stand. Because that is what we are doing in spiritual warfare. God has already put on his armor to defeat the enemy. And the same armor he used to defeat the enemy, he wants you to wear it. So when you go to do warfare, you don't trust in your power, but you go in the power of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now you will understand why Ephesians use phrases like, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because the armor is not yours. The armor is the Lord's. Believe in God's armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the reason I'm paying attention to say this is, you know, sometimes you can fight your own fight in your own way. You can say, well, me, this is how I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus on him. Yesu mu jang kawen him. Bonsam. Yesu mu jang kawen him. Now, you may decide to do it that way. You may even decide, we're going to, everybody take your spiritual machine gun. We're going to go. And you can pray all of that prayer. Where is that in the armor? Are you getting me? God says, I went to war. This is how I do it. I'm sending you to defend what I got. Do it my way. Not your way. It's not about flowery speeches. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't say go and do it your own way. It says God has already prescribed how it should be done. Do it God's way. Are you following me? Because, you know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, there is a lot of imagination people use. Do it this way. Do it that way. Some people actually believe if you speak in tongues fast, it's more powerful. Some people actually believe if you speak the tongues in deep ways and in a certain way, then power is being released. Where is that in the armor? Where is that? Yeah, you're doing it. It may sound nice in your prayer meeting, but it's not in the armor of God. Because the armor of God has been prescribed. And it says, be strong in it. In that power, put the whole armor on. Not your own armor. Not your pastor's armor. Not the bishop's armor. Not the prophet's armor. What God says, until we come back to scripture, we will just move in error. We have to retire into scripture and stand in the fullness of what the word of God says and do our battle the way God says we should do it. And next week, I'm going to show you the parts of the armor and why we do warfare with those parts. Why we do it with righteousness? Why we do it with the helmet of salvation? Why we do it the girdle of truth? Why do we do that? We're going to learn about that. But today, just get the armor of God is the armor of God. It is armor that belonged to God, which he has given to us to use. We better trust it. So let's dig a little deeper into Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll pick two verses to comment on. First is Ephesians 6:11. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. That's what I focused on last week. I want you to note in your Bibles, put on. And I want you to also note wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. Those two phrases are important. Put on. Everybody say put on. And then it says, when we put on the armor of God, we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I've dealt with that. I'm not going to go too much into that. Then Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. Ephesians 6:13. I want you to also note the language. Therefore, take up. Everybody say take up. And underline take up. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day and having done all to stand. Two phrases. Take up, and the other one is the evil day. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the verse 11 says, the reason you put on the armor is because you're going to deal with the wiles of the devil. And verse 13 tells us something different. It says, we take it up and because there is an evil day. So what does it mean? How do we use God's armor? How do you use God's armor? According to Ephesians 6. First, put on. Everybody say put on. Put on something means cover yourself in it. If I wear this garment, I have put it on. And once I put it on, it stays on me. It doesn't move. Are you following me? Now, if this, my garment, was for war, and it's not for war, if it was for war, and I put it on to go to war, I don't use it to fight. It is on me. I don't use it. I don't hold it. I don't fight with it. It's on me to defend me, protect me, depending on what it is. So there is covering yourself in the armor of God. Put on. But when you read verse 13, it doesn't say put on. It says take up. Take up has a different meaning from put on. Take up means that you are going to hold it and use it. You're going to hold it and use it. So what the Bible is saying, what Ephesians is saying is that part of the armor of God you put on. Part of the armor of God you hold in your hand. And next week we'll get to know which part we put on, which part we hold. But it says, put on, take up. They are not the same words. In the Greek, they are not the same. In English, they are not the same. One tells you, cover yourself, wear it. The other says, use it. So, part of the armor of God, we wear. Part of the armor of God, we take hold of and use. And we'll look at the difference between the armor that we wear and the armor that we use in warfare. Then it tells us two different things that the armor of God does for us when we use it. First, it says that it helps us to stand against the tricks of the enemy, Satan's tricks, or the wiles of the devil. Now, I covered that last week, so I'm not going to give it too much bother. If you want to know it, go and listen to last week. But then verse 13 tells us that the armor of God doesn't just help us to stand against the tricks of the enemy. It helps us to stand firm in the evil day. In the evil day. Two different things. One, the wiles of the enemy. Second, the evil day. The evil day simply means times of trouble. When times are hard. When your faith is tested. And it says, withstand. That's what the English say, withstand. In the verse 11, it says stand. Verse 13, withstand. And they're coming from two different Greek words. One simply means stand. The other says stand to resist. Withstand. Stand firm. Stand firmly in the evil day. The evil day is times of trouble. Everybody in life, apart from dealing with the wiles of devil, you also deal with evil days. Like I believe that we are in evil days now. We are in evil days in Ghana now. Times are hard. Times are hard. Times are hard. Somebody will say, it's happening all over the world. Do I care? You know, I don't live all over the world. I live in Ghana, so I have to deal with what is here. So stand firm in the evil day, in times of trouble. When times are hard, times are tough, how do we deal with tough times? The armor of God. How do we deal with the tricks of the enemy? The armor of God. When life is hard, what do you do? Put on the armor of God. When Satan is trying to get you, what do you do? Put on the armor of God. When the economy is bad, what do you do? Put on the armor of God. So the armor of God is not only for the wiles of the devil, it's also from when times are tough. And if you want to survive 2022 and 2023, oh, you thought it will end right now. We all pray it ends quickly and things normalize, and we pray for wisdom for our leaders, and we pray that they make all the right policy choices. But peradventure, if these types of trouble go beyond December into January, February, March, and wait for you in 2023, you will overcome it. You will overcome it, no matter how long. You will overcome. Why? Because we have the armor against that. We have the armor against the evil times. We have the armor for hard times. We have the armor for satanic attacks. We have the armor for hard times. How? The same armor of God that gives us victory spiritually against demonic forces also gives us victory in the evil day. And that's why Paul says, put it on. Put it on. Now, when somebody tells you, put it on, doesn't it give you the impression that some people have it and they packed it? You know, God has given them the armor, but they say, God, I want power. I want power. You know, because, you know, especially Africans, we like it the hard way. If you were one of those people, that centurion that Jesus said, go, your servant is well. You'd have said, Jesus, no. That's not how we do it in Ghana. We don't just go. We don't just go and the thing is soft. Go, your servant. No. Jesus, my head, lay hands on my head. This is the oil. I have brought 1 gallon. Pour it upon me. Do something, Jesus. What about this go, your servant is healed? You think that's why I came here? I came for go, your servant is healed? We would not have gone. We would not have gone. We would have waited for the oil. For Jesus to put his hand on our head and shake our head. And if we are shaking, he'll take us round till we fall down. Then we say, I've received the power now. So the armor is provided, but we don't want to put it on. Because the armor we want to put on is not this fast. Helmet of salvation, please. We want to bomb the devil. I'm telling you, the armor of God has come and take on the helmet of bazooka that will bomb the devil. I'm sure all of us, yeah, now you are talking, Lord. Now you are saying something. This is the one we need. A breastplate of righteousness. What am I going to do with breastplate of righteousness? I'm fighting demons. You say breastplate of righteousness. So for many of you, you've put the armor of God down. And you are taking prophetic armors from people on radio. You pray. Nothing happens. Then you say, God has failed me. And God say, I gave you the armor. You packed it. You didn't put it on. You didn't take it up. What else should I do? Let me close with this. If you are a Christian, you must trust God. It's a simple statement, but it's very important. If you are a Christian, you must trust God and trust the Word of God. Even if it seems what he's telling you is simple, like the mother of Jesus told the disciples of Jesus, whatever he tells you to do, do it. He says, go and fetch the water, give it to the man, the MC. Go fetch the water. Go fetch the water, give it to him. Lord, when will it turn to wine? We need to go fetch the water. You see, if you're going to be a Christian, that is all you do. You have to trust God. And you have to trust his word. And when he says he has given you an armor, you better believe in his armor and put it on. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are sufficiency. You are our helper. You are our deliverer. You are our provider. And so, Father, in these evil times, when times are hard, we come as a church with full confidence in your armor. And we put on the full armor of God in this evil time to withstand the evil day. And so we declare over this congregation that we shall not be in lack, we shall not suffer, we shall not be cut short, our life will not be miserable, our homes will not be miserable, our children will not be miserable, because we have the fullness of the armor of God. And we do warfare against every difficulty by the armor of God. On our right hand and on our left hand, we declare victory in this time, in this season, by the finger of God, by the arm of the Lord, we prevail and we rule over every adversity. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe that, give the Lord praise, somebody. Amen. It's going to be well with you. I said it's going to be well with you. You may not hear of wind or thunder. You may not see fire and brimstone, but God will take care of you. You may not see abundance already in your home, but God will take care of you. You may start the day with zero, but you will end with the goodness of the Lord. God will take care of you in the morning, in the midday, in the night. He will cause resources to come to you. Resources will 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 come to you. You will not fall in this evil day. You will rise, you will stand, because that is your portion as a child of God. And you will come out of this with a testimony that the Lord has been so good and He has provided. Walk in the fullness of the armor of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebi. Email otterville@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.